Please open your Bibles, or no, just follow along on the screen, because I've plucked out some verses that we're going to look together at this morning. You can feel free to go back to the text, or be in the text as well, but I start halfway through a verse and end halfway through a verse, so follow along on the screen. In fact, why don't you read the first section to me from James? Go ahead, read it to me. And then from 1 Peter it says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. Here it is again. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I'd like for us to think about getting back to basics. You know what I mean by that, right? There's some fundamental things that we need to be aware of as God's people. We're getting back to basics. To Jesus, his disciples, and the early church, one of those basics for disciples of Jesus is this, that we would be a people who resist the devil and his ways. It was basic and an important part of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus back then. And guess what, folks? It's just as important today. I have a rule. It is the something else is going on here rule. When two believing, wonderful Christian folks start to get really angry at each other over a simple little thing, I say, hey, wait a minute, something else is going on here. In fact, a little bell goes off. Did you hear that? Goes off in my head. And it says, Satan's up to something. I need to resist him. Now, oftentimes, it's even husbands and wives. They find themselves arguing about something really foolish. Anybody objectively looking at it would say, why are you so upset? And hurt comes. And hard things happen. Or another thing that happens when you see someone, let me see what I got written down here, When you are tempted to say no, and if you stopped and thought about it, you'd realize it's something very, very good that God wants for you, that same bell. Where's my bell? Should go off in our heads. Says there's something wrong here. Or when there's something that I know I ought not to do, but I'm finding myself rationalizing about it. Or I watch a brother or sister involved in things that you know are going to be destructive. I mean, they're rational. They're logical. They're people who can put two and two together. And yet they find themselves going off in directions that aren't good. Well, the bell is telling us that there's a spiritual war going on. And we need to be involved in it. This passage of Scripture. Okay, you can turn off my mic for my bell. Did you know that your app can... It's pretty cool. Did you know, one more fact, did you know that the estimated amount of matter in the universe determined this year to be invisible is 98%? There are things unseen that are happening every day. God, protect us as we go through this passage of Scripture, and I do pray that every one of us would be open to what it is you would have for us, Jesus. It's so easy at this point to point the finger, but here it is before us. You're calling us to humble ourselves before you. And we want to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, disaster for any army would be to think that their enemy didn't exist. This is true in the spiritual realm as well. For there to be victory, we must know our enemy and know that he exists. Jesus said this to Satan, "Get behind me." Paul wrote, "Stand against the schemes of the devil." Peter wrote, "Resist the devil, steadfast in the faith." James wrote, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." All those, Scripture itself, assume the existence and the ongoing work of Satan. And again, that bell goes off and we remember that Satan's at work. How do we stand against his attacks? How do we refuse to give in to his advances? The first one, in fact, what's the sermon title? Submission, prayer, and the Word of God. Let me tell you that first and foremost, at the foundation of spiritual warfare, of resisting the devil and having him flee from us, is number one, submission. In fact, we're not going to care much for prayer, and we're not going to have much to do with God's Word if we're not first submitted to him. That's why I say it's most important. Submission says, "I yield completely to you, God, my creator, my maker, my shepherd, my God, my savior. I yield to you." Pride was the sin that turned Satan, a blessed angel, into a cursed devil. Satan knows better than anyone the damaging power of pride. Is it any wonder then that he so often uses pride to sidetrack us? "Oh, I'm the exception to that rule, Lord. I don't need to do it that way, do I?" Milton said this, "Satan thought it better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven." Pride. Pride, acting as though God didn't exist, thinking we are God. And humility, its opposite, is a thankful sense of dependence on God, a joy in being his. So this first step or foundational step in resisting Satan is whenever we're tempted to turn in pride away from the Lord, whenever we're tempted to turn and go our own way, that bell should go off. Let's see if it's still working. There it is. And say, "No, Lord, I want your way." Move willingly toward him. Draw near to him. Call upon him. The next section in James is a description of sorrow for sin and repentance. It's when we submit to God that we're in a place to turn from our sin. Satan's strategy is to keep you and me from acknowledging our utter dependence on God. Dwell on that, folks. In fact, for us to dwell on it, let's sing, "I Need Thee Every Hour," just the chorus. "I need thee, oh, I need thee every..." Please agree in your heart that that's right. That's where we need to be. Number two, prayer. Casting all your anxieties on him. Do you hear Jesus' words to Peter here? "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Be watchful. Be sober-minded. Cast your anxieties. Draw near to God. The way that we begin to express our submission to God is in prayer. We bow the knee before the Lord who made us and knows us. We just sang in that song, "My Jesus, I Love Thee," or no, "I Need..." Got the other one in my heart. "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." We just sang there that he knows our every weakness. He knows everything about us. Stand firm in the faith is another way to resist Satan's work in prayer. When we're tempted to hide, we show. When we're tempted to do something wrong, we turn in prayer and tell the Lord about that. And then we turn and go out and do right. When we're tempted to give up, we talk to him about it and we press on. When we're tempted to be proud, we humbly serve. When tempted to fight fire with fire, we return good for evil. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we come to him in prayer. We gain the courage to continue on by watching each other. Our brothers and sisters struggle in the same way. How are we going to know that our brothers and sisters struggle? By sharing with each other. By asking each other to pray for us. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Jesus said. But I have what? Prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Satan's strategy is to keep us prideful. Satan's strategy is to keep us prayerless. Third, the Word of God is a strong weapon. Jesus shows us that it's by Scripture that we will continue to overcome the devil's tactics. Up on the screen is Matthew 4. Let me read it to us. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to a test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. In each case, the devil's suggestions were reasonable, weren't they? Who would quarrel with food for the hungry? Followers by the thousands. A world at Jesus' feet. The trap was not the suggestion, but the way that they would be realized. Not God's way. A shortcut. And that's what made it wrong. How did Jesus know? Because he knew God's word. When Satan tempts you and me to be truly happy, we need that one more thing. Then we need to have in our hearts God's word that says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." When he tempts us to feel that our marriage vows were insignificant ritual, and it doesn't matter if we let this one area slide, we remember Proverbs 3:3, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." When Satan would have you believe that God has forsaken and abandoned you, turn back to him with these great promises. God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And Jesus said, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Satan's strategy is to keep us out of God's word. So remember, God opposes the proud. Submit to him. Humble yourself before him. He is our strength. God calls us to do that today. And out of that will flow a life that's eager to draw near to him in prayer and eager to have his word written upon our hearts. Let's pray. God, may it be so today. Do your work in our hearts, we pray. We don't want to be in the position of being against you, Lord. And it says here twice in Scripture that you oppose the proud. We come humbly before you. Have your way with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.